Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It is such an honor to be here with you guys. Amen. I love talking to your pastor and getting to know him a little bit. Give honor to Pastor Portman. I'm bad with names. I believe Brother Schumacher, your bishop. Amen. God bless you, Bishop. Amen. While you're standing, I'm going to talk about Belize, but I want to minister to you. If you wouldn't mind turning with me in the Word of God to the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. That will be my main verse that I'd like to focus on today. Simple verse that I'm sure you're familiar with says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen? Amen. One other verse, you can turn there if you like, but I'll just quote it. It says, Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen? Praise God. Let's lift up our hands. Let's begin to pray for a moment. God, we love you. Thank you for the sweet touch of your Spirit that's here today. God, lead us and guide us and direct us, God. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, you see every need that's presented here today, God. Let your will be done. Let your glory be manifest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. We went up to the sound booth area and I seen all your trophies from Bible quizzing. You guys have a lot to be proud of. Amen. That is amazing seeing those trophies. That excited me. Amen. You guys are equipping people. Amen, for their future, amen, and impacting your community and the world, amen. I give honor to the sister who's saying, who's going on AIM. I pray God's blessing, that you see great results, amen, the power of God pour out in a mighty way in Germany, amen. We have a brief presentation. I'd like to play that, if that's okay. Amen. Thank you, media team. I want to give honor to my wife who's on my left here. I'm so grateful to have my better half. Amen. Praise God. I told Pastor Portman, we have two boys. They're 8 and 9. And when they find out there's power hour, they're excited because they get tired of hearing mom and dad. So they're having a good time, I'm sure, in power hour. Amen. I want to just take a moment and share with you about Belize, amen. Belize it borders Mexico and Guatemala. We are actually the only country in Central America that the national language is English. The work of God has been established there since the early 80s, amen, and Belize has seen great revival. When we went to Belize, we went in 2020, as mentioned in the video, and we were aimers. We went with one goal. And it was to try to expand in the north. 2 months after us arriving, we got an update from the U.S. Embassy because of the COVID pandemic. And they said, if you do not get on this plane on such and such date and time, we cannot guarantee you when you'll have the opportunity to return back to the United States. But we knew it was the will of God. We knew that God had put in our hearts to go at that time. And we just continue to walk by faith. Amen. And we're grateful for being able to be here today and share that God has done great things in our short time there. Amen. In Belize, we have over 42 different churches. Praise God. And Belize is a lot like America. It's a melting pot. We have Chinese. We have Middle Eastern. We have Garifuna, which are of African descent. There's many Mennonites. There's a lot of Mayan, which are indigenous to Belize, and they speak Kekchi and Mayamopan. And we have a lot of Latinos from El Salvador and Honduras and Guatemala. When we went to Belize, in an English-speaking country, we went to pastor the only English-speaking church at the time. In Belize, where we've seen the greatest revival, I don't have a map, I don't believe, but Belize is broken up into 6 different districts. And the greatest revival that we've seen is in the south, in 2 districts alone, in Stan Creek and Toledo District. And those 2 districts alone are over 35 of our churches. And it's been amongst the Mayan people. It's pretty awesome to see the revival God has brought considering the religious background that the Mayan have in their history. They used to have living sacrifices to their gods. And yet now in 2023, we are one of, if not the largest church amongst the Mayan people. God has done great things amongst the Mayan and Belize. Amen. When we go to churches, I ask you to pray with us. We have these postcards that are free for everyone. They're on our booth in the back, and it's got some prayer petitions. And two districts is 35 of our 42 churches. The northern part and the western part of Belize is vastly unreached. When you pray for Belize, please pray for us that our prayer has always been that the revival that we've seen in the south would spread to the north like wildfire. We're believing God to fan the flame of revival to every part and every city and district of Belize. We have an entire island with over 12,000 people that have never had a church. But we're believing God's going to change that. Amen. 2 months of us arriving, five people got baptized in the most northern part of Belize called Corozal. It borders Mexico. We've never had a church within 2 hours of Corozal Village. And we had outside service the first time in someone's front yard. There was 27 people in attendance, praise God. And we started working with them. Because of COVID, we couldn't have church gatherings. It got pretty strict in Belize. So we did what they did in the book of Acts. We would go house to house, having Bible studies every week. We go anywhere from 5 to 7 houses, just having Bible study. Throughout the entire pandemic, without a building, God kept adding to the church. Amen. The video you seen the drone footage of in the air was the first church we built. A year and a half of doing Bible studies, we were able to build a church in Corozal. And our first service, it was very momentous for us. There was 40 people in our first ever church service in this new building in an area where there's no church within 2 hours. There's a gentleman we had been working with for a year and a half. His name was Josue. Josue is El Salvadorian, and he's an ex-MS-13 gang member. If you're familiar with MS-13, they're one of the most violent gangs in all the world. And after working with him, he looked at me one day and he said, "Pastor, I don't believe that God will fill me with the Holy Ghost because of my past." And that crushed me because we know what God could do. Amen. We stand here today as a testament of the goodness of God, of His mercy. Amen. Thank God that He saved us and He found us. Amen. When we were lost. Amen. Well, Josue was helping us build the church. He was building. We had to hand dig the foundation. Belize is third world, and we're hand digging the foundation. And I felt the boldness of the Holy Ghost one day. I said, "Josue, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost in this church that you're building with your own hands." Amen. Our first service, two people got the Holy Ghost that day. The last person to go to the altar was Josue. As he lifted up his hands, tears come rolling down his face, as instantly the power of the Holy Ghost fell upon Josue, and he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. That makes it worth it. That makes every bit of sacrifice, every bit of time and effort, it makes it worth it seeing one person, one sinner come to repentance. Amen. One person seeing the Holy Ghost fall upon their lives. Amen. That made it worth it that day. And we're grateful for that. We've seen in our short time there, we have now three churches in the north and in the west that were never there before. And God's doing great things. Just 3 weeks ago, we had a men's conference, and there were 60 men that received the Holy Ghost at a men's conference. Praise God. Just a few months back, I got a video text from a group that was having a new preaching point start up in a village named Santa Cruz. And I'm not going to take much longer, but they're having services, and they sent me this video, and it was only maybe their third or fourth gathering, and they said, "Pastor, I think we need to build a church here." In front of someone's front yard was 60 people gathered together, hungry for the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. In February, we're building them a church. Thank God for it. Amen. So God's doing great things, and we're grateful to be a part of it, that God allows us to witness it. Amen. And I want to say personally, thank you. Amen. Thank you for what you do for missions. Amen. I know a lot of times we come and you sacrifice and you give towards all these great causes, and their souls, amen, in other countries that you may have never seen, may have never met, but through your giving and through your prayers, lives have been impacted around the world. So thank you, amen. Give yourselves a hand clap, because that's nothing to take lightly, and we're grateful for what you do. I'm almost done. I want to just take a second here. On those postcards is our social media, and my wife's good at the media. I'm not too good with it, but we're always posting what God's doing. I understand sometimes we come and we share what God's doing, and we go away for a while, and you always wonder, whatever happened to those people with the weird last name? Are they still in Belize? So you can stay connected and see what's happening and be a part of what's happening in Belize. We want you to feel a part of it and know what's going on. We have our email address on there as well, and we do quarterly newsletters. And if you would like to receive those, just send us an email, and we'll add you to our newsletter list. We're grateful for what you do. Amen. We know that it's by prayer. We had a church start right before we came back that we had launched, and for 2 years we were praying for a village, and there was no open door. And out of nowhere, God connected us with some people that had been praying for a church. And it resulted in, you've seen in the video, there was three people being baptized in Jesus' name. It was all by the result of prayer. We didn't know anybody in that village, but God opened the door. So thank you for your prayers. One last thing. We have a booth in the back, and we have some doors. We are on our last week of deputation. We're getting ready to go back to Belize. We've been deputizing for about a year and a half, and we're excited to get back to the country. We have one last project, and I'm not trying to push it, but a lot of times people ask, how can we help or how can we partner with you? And thank you for your partnership, your church partners with us, and we're grateful for that. But we are trying to raise, we have $5,000 still that we need for an evangelism project. And what that does, it goes towards helping us open doors in unreached villages, having revival-like crusades and just launching Bible studies and training and Sunday school. So that's our last project. If anyone would like to help in any way, we have these doors. And it's to be symbolic that you've helped open doors in unreached areas. So anyone that could give 100 or more, that your church will get credit for it, amen. It would go towards helping that, and you would receive a door in return. So no pressure, but if you like to help towards that, we're grateful for it. We're very close to completing it. We needed 20,000, and we're literally just 5,000 away. So we're thankful for your support, amen. I want to turn our attention to what I read here in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It's a common verse that many of you can quote. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In our day and in our hour, I'm thankful that I'm in a Pentecostal church, a place of worship, that we know who Jesus was. We know the reason why Christ came and died upon the cross. Amen. We know why his blood was shed for us on Calvary. But in the society that we're living in, sometimes if we're not careful, we just assume that everyone would know and understand what we believe. But that's not so. But if you were to ask me why Jesus came to this earth, I believe this verse sums it up very well. I believe it sums it up very well for people that don't understand who Jesus is. He came to seek and to save them that are lost. He had a burden for lost souls. He had a burden for those that were lost and bound by sin, that they might have life and life more abundantly. He had a burden that they would be reconciled unto him. Amen. And so that's what I want to encourage you today, is more than anything, I believe and I feel that we've got to allow his burden to be our burden. More than ever before, we've got to allow his passion to be our passion. More than anything, in 2023, I've got to get a burden for lost souls. I've got to get a burden to go after the one sheep that's gone astray. I've got to get a burden to find those that are crying out in the midnight hour and looking for hope and looking for truth. Amen. They're out there, churches, people all around our communities, all around this state, amen, that are hungry for God, that that may not know God, that may not understand the things of God, but there are people right here in Mount Pleasant that want to know what you know, and they're hungry to experience what you and I have experienced, and thank God for it. Amen. Now, let me make something clear. I don't want to get in trouble with Pastor Portman. Amen. When you go witnessing, do not knock on someone's door and say, I'm here to tell you about Jesus because you're lost. I wouldn't recommend that. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. I want to make sure you're listening. Don't tell them they're lost. But the reality of it is, they're lost. If you did that, they would say, well, I think you're lost because I live on such and such street and such road, and you came knocking on my door. I know who I am and where I am. But the reality of it is, there's a world that is out there, amen, in 2023, as contrary as the world seems, as much as sin wants to flaunt itself, as much as it's in our face, amen, I still believe with everything in me that the church is going to see the greatest revival that we have ever seen, amen, the greatest revival that we've ever read about or heard about, amen, and it's going to be because there are souls that are hungry to know him. There are souls that are desperate amidst all the chaos, amidst all the craziness happening in the world around us. There are people that are wanting to know Jesus, that are wanting to know what they've got to do to be saved. Amen. Do you believe that today? Praise God. I didn't read all of it for the sake of time, but if we were to read from the beginning of Luke 19, it gives us a very clear example of reaching the lost. Amen. It tells the story of Zacchaeus. Here is Zacchaeus, amen. He's a tax collector. You know the story. He wasn't well liked of others. Nobody likes the IRS. If you work for the IRS today, then you're here. Please forgive me. Amen. But no one wants to have to deal with the IRS, right? But here he is, and Jesus is walking by. And everywhere that Jesus went, Jesus demanded a crowd. He not demanded it, but the crowd would go because they had heard, no doubt, of all the great things that Jesus did. Amen. They heard about the miracles. They heard about the healings. They heard about all the great things that occurred. And so, as he's walking, no doubt, there's a multitude of people around Jesus. And Zacchaeus is off in the distance, and he's up in the sycamore tree. And while he's walking by him, it's all the people that are around him. Jesus stops and he looks up and he tells Zacchaeus amidst all the crowd, Zacchaeus, get ready. Today, I'm coming to spend time with you. With all these people around trying to get my attention, Zacchaeus, my eye and my focus is on you. And I think if we're not careful, sometimes we can even come to the church and think, well, I'm not pastor. I'm not the leadership. I'm just off in the distance. Maybe Jesus isn't hearing me, or maybe I'm just here by coincidence. But you're not here today by a coincidence. You're not here today by happenstance. Amen. You might not think you're the closest to Jesus as you want to be, but amen, God has his eye upon you, and God has a plan and a purpose for you, and his work is not done in your life. That's why you're here today, because he's got a plan for you, because he's got a calling, because he has an election. Amen. There are things that God wants to do in your life that will blow your mind. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Jesus has always been mindful of the one. He is mindful of you and I today. Thank God he found us. Thank God he saved us. Thank God he delivered us. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you're not here by coincidence. You're here in the will of God. You're here because God is not done with you. You're here today because God loves you and God has a plan for your life. Amen. I read Matthew 6 and 33, and you might think, well, that means nothing. It's way different than what he's preaching about. But Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Many of us can quote that, amen. And all his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. I want to challenge somebody today. I don't know what you've been doing or what you've been going through, but in this hour, I don't know anything about your church, and it's probably better that way. Amen. But more than anything, God is calling his people to be in their rightful place. More than anything, God is preparing this church for revival. He's preparing the world for revival. And us as the people of God, we've got to position ourselves to be everything he's called us to be, everything he's created us to be. Amen? A lot of times in ministry, Pastor Porter and Pastor Schumacher probably, they don't have to nod their heads, but they probably experienced this before. There's people that have a call of God, people that have the anointing of God on their lives, and they say, well, Pastor, I know God's calling me, but I got to deal with this, and I got to deal with that, and then when I'm good and ready, then I'm going to attend to what God's wanting me to do. Has that ever happened? Amen. I've done it. I'll be honest. I've done it. But here's the reality of it. If we can allow Matthew 6 and 33 to be a revelation, God, more than anything, more than my own self-desire, more than the things that are vying for my attention, God, I've got to be everything you've called me to be. God, your will first. God, help me at my ear to be inclined to what you're telling me to do. God, help me to make you the priority in my life, the priority of everything I do when I wake up and I go out. Amen. I've got to make you my priority. As we make him priority ours, I know it may sound cliche, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but God will always take care of you. God will always make a way when there seems to be no way. When you say, God, it's not my will, but your will. Amen. In the middle of doing his will, God will take care of you. We had a lady that came to our church in Belize City. Her name was Sister Mary Lou. Sister Mary Lou had her neighbor had been inviting her for a couple years, and she finally came to the church, and I didn't know she'd been inviting her, but after service, I went and started talking to her, and she said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. She said, I told God that I'm going to go to three churches, and whichever of the three churches I like best, that's going to be my church. She said, the second I walked up the driveway of your church, we had this long driveway, and she said, I heard the church praying. And she said, I knew this was going to be my church. We were the second church she went to. I said, praise God. And she came faithfully every Wednesday, every prayer meeting, every Bible study, every Sunday morning service. She came faithfully. Amen. I said, praise God, that third church never had a chance. I ain't ashamed about it. We didn't want her to go to some other church. Amen. So she kept coming faithfully. About a month and a half of coming to church, Sister Mary Lou got filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Praise God. She got a great touch of God's presence. Amen. And we were rejoicing. And time went by, but I didn't know this, but Sister Mary Lou had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in her body. And she began telling us that she was going to have to go to Mexico. Belize does not have great medical. And so she was going to go to Mexico to get treatment, and she has two adorable children, and she said, before I go, Pastor, I'm ready to be baptized. And we were talking to her, and she looked at my wife and I in the eyes, and she said, Pastor, I told God that whether I live or whether I die from this cancer, my children are going to know a mother that will live for God till her dying day. Pretty profound when you're facing stage 4 cancer. No matter what comes my way, I'm still going to serve the Lord. No matter what comes my way, I'm still going to make God the priority in my life. Amen. So she went to Mexico and she started getting treatment. And she would go intermittently off and on. And she had come back home last July, and she was praying in her home. And she said, I feel like that God healed me. She went back to Mexico and had the doctor run all the tests. I don't know how long it took, but the results came back, and the doctors ultimately told her, Miss Mary Lou, there is no trace of you ever having any cancer in your body. Praise God. She got healed. She began testifying about it in the church. She's got three friends that have come to church ever since. Three of them got the Holy Ghost. Two of them been baptized. We're trying to get the third one. Praise God. But there's something that happens in the people of God when you make up in your mind, God, whatever your will is for my life, God, whatever your desires, God, whoever I've got to reach, whoever I've got to impact, God, I'm going to serve you. Amen. You're in good hands. Amen. God will make a way. God will provide the means. Amen. God is faithful. He's so faithful. I know there's testimonies here today of God's faithfulness in your life, of God providing when there seemed to be no way, of God delivering your mind, of God restoring you from what things you never thought could have happened. But that's the goodness of God. Amen. I'm not going to take much longer, but my son Levi, my 9-year-old son, he's a crazy boy, praise God, thank God for it. And he had broke his arm, and we had gotten his cast off, and it was literally, he got his cast off 2 weeks before a group came to help us build a church. And right after getting his cast off, he tripped on a parking block and broke the same arm again. My Lord. And so while we went to the doctor, he got casted, and they said, well, you got to come back tomorrow for the specialist to look at his arm. And tomorrow became 2 weeks because in Belize they drive really good, and there's lots of accidents. Amen. They don't drive that good. Amen. They drive wild. And so every time he had an appointment with the specialist, they were postponing his appointment because they're tending to accidents. Well, 2 weeks went by. His arm had already begun mending, but his arm was mending like this. It was crooked. I mean, they took his cast off, and you could physically see his arm wasn't right. And the doctor looked at us and said, well, Dad, there's one of two things we could do. One, we can re-break his arm a third time, or because he's young, in about 36 to 42 months, his arm might grow back straight. My son looked at me and said, Daddy, please don't let him break my arm again. And so we began talking as a family, and we discussed it. And I told my wife and kids, I said, well, we're here in Belize, and we're always preaching this thing called faith. What kind of preachers would we be if I'm preaching faith, but we're not allowing faith to operate? Said, let's just put it in God's hands. And we all agreed as a family. I didn't make my son go against his will, I promise. Amen. And so he went, got his cast off 2 months later or however long it was. And they said, well, things are looking better. There's a chance that in about 24 to 36 months, his arm might grow straight. So instead of 4 years, it was 2 to 3 years or potentially 4 years. And thank God for childlike faith. My son, every day, we usually have ministry 6 days a week. And every day, every prayer meeting or church service, he'd lift up his hand and say, I have prayer requests that God will straighten my arm. Everyone's seen his crooked arm. You could see it from here to the back room. You could tell it was crooked. And a week went by and nothing changed. 2 weeks went by, nothing changed. 3 weeks went by, 4 weeks. Amen. 4 weeks went by. My son didn't waver in his petition. On a Tuesday night prayer meeting, we're just doing the will of God. We're just doing what God called us to do, trying to build out a work in Belize. And my son prayed on the right side of the altar. No one laid hands on him. And I get up to close out prayer meeting, and he comes up to my left. He lifts up his hand. He says, Dad, I have a praise report. I said, or a testimony. I said, yes, son. He said, Dad, tonight in prayer meeting, God completely straightened my arm. Amen. It didn't take 24 or 36 or not even 12. In 1 month of praying faithfully and just putting in God's hands, there's something about when we get a revelation. foundation of seek ye first the kingdom of God. God is faithful. Amen. You might not know where the means it's going to come from. You might not know how it's going to happen. But you just serve the Lord and you be everything God's called you to be. You be everything God's put in your heart. Amen. Get a burden to reach the lost. His burden has always been to reach and impact souls. Amen. Get a love for souls. Get a love for the lost. Get a burden to teach somebody. Get a burden to tell somebody your testimony of God's goodness and mercy in your life. God is so good. Amen. In 2023, God is still the best thing going in all the world. Amen. In 2023, God is still alive and well. And he's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he sits upon the throne. He reigns in all power, in all dominion, in all authority. Amen. You just do what God's called you to do, and God will take care of you. Amen. You believe that today? Amen. Musicians, you can come. If you wouldn't mind standing with me. If you're a visitor here today and you've never experienced the Holy Ghost, if you never experienced the power of God in your life, maybe you're not too sure what it is. John 3:5 says, except a man be born again of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's not me preaching that. It's not me saying that. That's the word of God. The Bible says, let God's word be true and every man a liar. Amen? You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name according to the biblical method. Amen? You've got to receive the Holy Ghost. I can't give it to you, but God will give it to you. When you come to an altar of repentance and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I want to live right. God, I want to walk righteously before you. Maybe you've got the Holy Ghost and you're here today and it's been a while since you've spoken tongues, since you've got a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not the will of God that you leave here without a fresh touch of his Spirit. Amen. If you need the Holy Ghost, it's for you. But to every saint, every brother, and every sister, I want to challenge you. I don't know who's preaching or what the agenda is for Sunday. But I pray that we would be Spirit-led in everything we do. Pray that we be Spirit-led as we go to our workplace tomorrow, as we go through the grocery store, and as we go about our daily routine, maybe walk in the neighborhood. I pray that God would lay someone upon our heart that we can reach. God will lead us and quicken us and give us the words. You don't have to worry about what to say. God will give you the words. God will give you the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost to minister to somebody. There are souls all throughout this community and the surrounding cities that are in need of God, that need to know that he died for them and he came that they might have life and life more abundant. There's backsliders that maybe you stop praying for. Maybe you stop reaching to them because they said, don't bother me with that no more. But maybe their heart's ripe and tender for God. My mother, my father's a minister. Ever since I've grown up, I've been a product of a broken home. Thank God they got along, but my mother doesn't live for God. I've been in church since I was 15, living for God faithfully. And my mother, she's had different religious beliefs. And while we're in Belize taking care of God's work, one day my mother called and she said, what were you doing? I said, hey, Mom, I just got done doing a Bible study. She said, on what? I said, the oneness of God. She's been a Trinitarian my whole life. She said, oh, I know you believe that. She was never open to what I had to say. And she said, I've just always believed the Trinity. I gave her like two verses. And on the other side of the phone, I hear tears in my mother's eyes. And she starts crying. She says, my God, now I see it. Now I understand that God is one. It all makes sense. While we're doing what God's called us to do, God was taking care of my mother. I called her a couple weeks ago, and she said, hey, aren't you going to ask me how yesterday went? I said, what happened yesterday? She said, I had my weekly Bible study. I said, praise God, how did it go? Over 15 years I've been praying for my mother. Don't you stop praying. Don't you stop reaching. The greatest hour of the church isn't tomorrow, and it's not yesterday. Thank God for yesterday, but there are souls that are hungry for God right now. There are souls that are looking for what you've got. They want a genuine touch of God. Amen. What better place to receive it than here? What better person to deliver it to them than you? Amen. I know life has its obligations. I know we've got the monotony and we got things we've got to take care of. But I challenge you, church, don't lose focus of the call of God. Don't lose focus of God's purpose and God's plan in your life. It's more important than anything you've got going on. Maybe you're here today and you don't know what the call of God is in your life. You pray and you diligently seek it, and God will give you a divine word and a divine direction. And God's going to equip you to carry it out. Amen. Do you believe that today? These altars are open. I want us to come up. If you don't know what to pray, I pray that you ask God to lay someone upon your heart. Maybe you need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've been running from God's call and God's purpose. Maybe you've been pushing it off till tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. Let's see what God has. Let's see what things God's going to do through your lives. Amen. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice as they begin to sing. Let's get a hold of God tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, have your way today. Let your will be done in this house, God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. That's it. Lift up your voice. God, I'm desperate for you today. God, I want to be everything you've got for me, God. I want to serve you to the best of my ability. God, help me. God, equip me. Give me ears to hear and eyes to see, God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, have your way today.